A sermon given to the online congregation on Mothering Sunday, with reflections around readings from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I'm sorry to break this to you, but today is not Mother's Day, despite what the hospitality and retail industries would have us believe. To be more precise, Mother's Day is not part of the church's year, but is an American tradition begun in 1908 by the social activist Anna Jarvis to honour mothers who had died, women who had children. This idea soon caught on, and greeting card companies saw a business opportunity, waking people's minds to give thanks for mothers. Really not a bad thing in its concept, but massively big now as a secular celebration, usually held in May. In the church, we know today, which is the fourth Sunday of Lent, as Mothering Sunday, and it's about the community of the church, which is relevant to all of us, whether we are fortunate to be mothers of children or not. The tradition of returning to your mother church began in medieval times as a celebration of community and of belonging to the family of God. Another, this time linguistic, difference between Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday is that the word mother is a noun and consequently applies to a person, whereas the word mothering is a verb, and so the act of mothering can be carried out by anyone. The Oxford English Dictionary defines mothering as to bring up a child with care and affection, and to look after someone kindly and protectively. Bearing all this in mind, let's take a closer look in a minute at the passage from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians before we go back to earlier times and Moses as a baby boy. I think it's a shame that as a society, we have few occasions in our lives when we dress up. It used to be the case that Sunday best clothes would come out once a week for church. Nowadays, the dress code is far more casual. And of course, when joining worship on a Zoom screen, there's only a bit of us that can be seen. So who knows what we might still be wearing today? Maybe pajamas and slippers? Weddings still provide the opportunity for dressing up, as do most formal events, and I am sure there are still certain clubs and restaurants in London that do not admit a gentleman unless he's wearing a tie under his jacket. So what does dressing up say about us? That we wish to show respect for the occasion? Yes, and for the hosts. That we have a desire to show a bit of glamour and to impress? Perhaps. That we do like a chance to admire adornments on ourselves and others? Maybe. What Paul is talking about is none of these. It's about qualities and characteristics, not just of ourselves, but of what we are a part of. In other words, our community and our church. It's not just how we look that impresses most, it's how we are. When David was anointed to be king over Israel, it's recorded in the first book of Samuel that the Lord did not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. However smartly we dress on the outside, what is significant, therefore, is our inner clothing, which Paul lists here: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Moreover, he says that we should forgive one another and bind all our clothing in love, which brings perfect unity. Compassion first, defined as sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering of others. As children, if we fall over and hurt ourselves, we might go to our mothers for comfort. If we see another person upset, our instinct is to sympathise. This is compassion. Kindness and gentleness next. We like others to be kind to us, so we must treat them the same way, not forcing our views and opinions on others, but giving space and time for them. Humility is the opposite of pride, and with humility, we tend to treat everyone with respect, not just those who seek to impress. Patience is with God and with others. This is perhaps the hardest of these five qualities, especially in today's world, where hatred and violence seem to dominate in so many situations, and we are continually crying out to the Lord for help in our prayers. But we are told that good things come to those who wait. And we can quote Psalm 27, which says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." These five virtues, the qualities of Christ, should be underneath and flow through all we do. As we read this passage from Colossians, we should remember that they are addressed primarily not to you or me as individuals, but to the whole church. These virtues lead immediately to forbearance and forgiveness in the body of Christ. From these in turn come peace and thanksgiving, wisdom, worship and glory, our functions as a united church. Let's challenge ourselves then to consider how we are called to clothe ourselves in these virtues and how we can live them out in our own lives. Turning to the Old Testament reading from Exodus, how do we see Paul's New Testament teachings play out in the story of the baby Moses being left by his mother, hidden by bulrushes by the river, with no apparent future as a Hebrew boy under the order of death? Firstly, his mother showed kindness and love in her actions when she left Moses in his basket, trusting in God to save her son. Secondly, Moses' sister demonstrated love, humility, and kindness as she watched from a distance and then played her part in drawing their mother back to nurse the baby. Thirdly, Pharaoh's daughter showed compassion, gentleness, and love in bringing up Moses as her son, and thus allowing the realization of God's plan for Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt to build a nation in Israel. I imagine that Pharaoh's daughter didn't lack for anything material, including the finest clothes, but she was also gifted with some of those qualities which we ourselves are called to immerse ourselves in now. God is all-powerful and has a plan for all of us, though maybe it's not to rescue future leaders and prophets from beside the river Otter. This clothing that we have been considering is all well and good, but pretty worthless unless there is a belt and cloak to tie around it all and to bind it together in unity. Love is that unifying quality. So, if we're able, and if circumstances allow, let us today show all mothers the gratitude, respect, and care they deserve, whether they are still with us or whether they live on in our hearts. This Mothering Sunday will be a happy day for many. It might be coloured with nostalgic thoughts of times past. It could be tinged with sadness or feelings of guilt or shame for others. Whatever it is for you, I pray that you will be clothed in your finest qualities to reflect how we should all mother one another as a loving community. Amen.